Excitement in the air. It's the first night of high school football across the Upper Cumberland. We're set for Upperman and Cookeville at the top of the hour. The rest of the action heating up tomorrow night. Glad you're with us for the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders as we preview week one high school football across the Upper Cumberland. Let's start at Tucker Stadium, where we're less than an hour away from the start of the season, Upperman and Cookeville. Adam Kane blew the whistle to end a physical practice on Tuesday. He said he heard cheers from some of his players. The reason? They're glad that practice is over and it's time to play for real.
Well, you know, obviously you got to start everything a day early in that business. So we came in Sunday and did our normal Monday routine and then, so on and so forth. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that this team could wait another day to play. They're so sick of practicing that, they're, I think, very excited that game week is finally here.
And, you know, practicing in fall camp, you hit each other, hitting the same color jerseys a lot. I know you scrimmage a little bit, but it doesn't count. It finally counts Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Physical practices are typically Tuesdays and Wednesdays. This week it was Monday and Tuesday. But, the kids know that Thursday is more of a mental day. And this week obviously it'll be Wednesday. But they knew when the whistle was sounded yesterday that it kind of marked, game time is finally here. And I'll be honest with you, I heard some of them kind of cheering. And so I don't know, I guess the mental toll that we've put on them this preseason is probably a little more than I expected. But I think they're, as ready as they can be for game one. You never really know what to expect. You hope to get better every week, but it's good to know they're excited to play.
And speaking of the mental toll, I mean, you guys are ranked top three, top four in a lot of polls. I know preseason polls amount to a hill of beans at the end of the day, but how is keeping everybody's, expectations and just keeping them working and, we haven't arrived yet. How's that gone?
It's gone okay. I don't think you ever really – know until you finally kick off, but we've been banged up some, and haven't really done all that great in our scrimmages. We haven't done poorly, but I don't think we have looked like one of the top 10 teams in the state during our scrimmages, but. Again, those are preparation deals as well. So, the key for us is let's put our best foot forward on Thursday and the next nine games after that and see where we are then.
Well, and I know Donovan McAllister is going to get a whole lot of press and pub and, that whole thing. But we know how great he is at quarterback. But how vital to you is he on defense?
He's a great defensive player as well. A kid with great speed and instincts and, takes a lot of pride in playing defense. And so, he's very smart too. He's kind of like another coach on the field for us out there and, helps everybody get lined up and get where they're supposed to be. So he's very crucial for us, on both sides of the ball and, ultimately he's, his biggest, intangible, I guess, is probably his competitive nature. He plays better when the stakes get higher, and those kids are few and far between, but you embrace it when you get to coach one.
And speaking of high stakes, it's, not a region game. It's not a playoff game, but Thursday night's game is undoubtedly a huge game. Not just for what's happened last year, but just the history and the rivalry between the two schools in all sports.
Unfortunately, history tells you that it is not much of a rivalry because I think it's just been completely one-sided. Last year's first time that I think Upperman has been on top. But so we've got a lot of work to do to get it into a rivalry status. But, you know, the kids know each other. There's a lot of social media stuff going back and forth. And, the stakes are high, and both teams want to win, and both teams are ready to get the season started. But, you know, ultimately, sooner or later, it's going to, you know, basically turn into a regular old football game, and whoever executes and on offense the best, and whoever tackles the best on defense is going to win. So the quicker you can get settled in and start playing football, the better off everybody will be.
Kane says he hopes a good old-fashioned football game will break out as this game kicks off at the top of the hour. As for Cookeville, hope, excitement, anxiety, uncertainty. That creeps into the minds of all football coaches this time of the year. Head coach Jimmy Maynard, no exception.
It's been a long time coming, it seems like, but we have, and you still, you know, that first game is always the one that's you're just uncertain about. You know, you've done all those things that you talk about, but you've done your special teams. You haven't done a whole lot of that live, and then there's other things. You just, you know, as a coach, you just want to make sure you've got everything covered. That's in football, there's so many different areas that you have to cover. And it's just, you just hope that you spend enough time in each one of those areas to be ready for that first game.
Well, before we even get into the Jamboree, how did you make it out on the injury front Friday night in Lebanon?
Oh, we were good. We're fine. We're healthy. We're, you know, ready to go. We things were short, and we got through it pretty quickly, and so we wound up in good shape coming out of the Jamboree.
How did you guys look overall on offense and defense?
Well, I thought we'd scrimmaged and worked against them back, the first week of fall camp on a Friday, and offensively we struggled a little bit against them. They're really good. Their defensive front and front seven is really, really good and aggressive. They got about 9 seniors on their defense, and they're a very, very, very good defensive football team. And we struggled, but Friday night we were a little better. Of course, we were pretty basic, everything they were on defense, and we were on offense. But our guys did block them, and we got after them pretty good, and was able to have some little success on the offensive side. And defensively, we did well defensively. The first play we kicked off, and the first play we intercepted a pass, run it down to about the 3-yard line, and was able to score. And then I guess the next series we held them 3 and out. So it was a pretty good scrimmage for us as far as our ones. And actually our twos played well. Well, they scored with about 40 seconds, threw up a Hail Mary and caught one and ended up tying the game up. But all in all, I thought our kids played well. They played aggressively, and it was a good night for us.
Well, what kind of confidence does that give you as a coach to see the progression of your team from what you talked about in the beginning and kind of struggling to coming back this Friday night and taking a bigger step against this opponent you'd already competed against?
Well, you know, you hope that that's the case. But I know last year we went into Lebanon and had a really good Jamboree, and then we went into the first game and we did not play very well at all. So, you know, you're always apprehensive a little bit about it. But, you know, I think our kids are working hard, and I think they understand that we're facing an Upperman team that's going to be favored, probably the first time ever that's happened. And, you know, they're number 4 ranked in the state in their classification, and return a lot of players from a year ago, and a team that defeated us a year ago. So we know that, you know, we've got to be ready to play, and I think it's going to take a really good performance for us to be able to win the game.
From Tucker Stadium in Tennessee Tech, it's Jimmy Maynard's Cookeville Cavaliers, Adam Kane's Upperman Bees, coming up at the top of the hour. We have it for you live at NewsTalk941.com. The Mark Frazier era gets set to begin in Sparta. This is the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Mark Frazier says despite the recent struggles of this White County football program, he feels a lot of excitement building before tomorrow night's opener.
Well, we just want to have a good environment. Sparta football, I think there's a lot of excitement around it this year. Some heard from a lot of the fan base. I think they're excited. So what we want to do is just have a good experience for the kids, good experience for the fans. hopefully the product on the field is good, and you know, people are excited about going to watch it. So we just want to make it an exciting time for the county and for the city, and everybody enjoy their Friday night there.
Well, speaking of your product and what you're putting out on the field, how's the culture change gone so far?
Well, you know, there's growing pains. There's no doubt that we still have a ways to go to get it to where I feel like a winning program would be. But I will say this, the kids, they do what we ask them to do. And so that's a big part of it, expecting to win, expecting to be competitive. You know, and it's tough. When you haven't won a lot of games, that is something that is hard to change. But the kids are working toward, they're gaining some confidence. We've had a few good outings here in the preseason, so I think they're growing, you know, as far as confidence goes and learning to do things the right way. So the culture's changing, but we're still not where we want to be, but we're growing it.
And speaking of your outings, you know, this preseason, I noticed you went and scrimmaged at Rockwood last week. First off, did you come out okay on the injury front?
Well, we've actually been very, very – we've had a little rough go on the offensive line, but other than that, we've done – really good this preseason with no injuries. We do have a senior starter who's had a broken hand. We had a sophomore who hurt his knee, both on the offensive line. Both those guys, we're going to see a lot of playing time. We do think that we'll get the senior back, and the sophomore still kind of wait and see. Both are good players. We need them both. But as far as that goes, those are the only two injuries we've had, so that's been great.
How did everything look on offense and defense Friday night at Rockwood?
Well, we ended up scrimmaging. We had two quarters. We played Clinton first game. We played Rockwood the second game. You know, offensively, I thought we looked pretty solid. We've been under – this is our second year as far as that goes under offensive coordinator who was here last year. So I feel like we're a little bit ahead offensively than where we are defensively. But we had some good things happen. Now listen, we had some busts as well. We had a touchdown that was dropped. We had a few other things that went wrong, but we're getting better offensively. So I'm excited about that side of the football.
Talking about being a little ahead, what's maybe slowing you down on defense? Is it just getting the scheme in and the terminology?
Well, yeah, that's the biggest thing. You know, this is new coaches, new adjustments, new terminology. So we're still growing. So we've got to get a lot better this week to face Cannon if we're going to have any success Friday night defensively. So, but they're continuing to improve. We just got to get some little kinks worked out.
The key to beating Cannon County Friday night, Frazier says it's containing their explosive quarterback. Frazier says he's someone who can really run, and that will test his Warriors defense. Monterey head coach Scott Hughes says that everyone on the roster logged double-digit snaps in Friday night's scrimmage against Upperman. Hughes' staff stuck to the plan to get a look at everyone on film against a high-quality opponent.
Oh, it went well. Kids were excited, and you know, we got plenty of bodies in. I think all of our kids logged in, you know, double-digit snaps, even in the varsity quarter, and that was our plan, was to get everybody in and get everybody rotated. Get them a little experience, and Upperman's got a great football team. I think they'll do great things again this year. Coach Kane and his staff, good guys, and do good stuff. And for us, it was good work to see our guys compete against a high-level opponent like that, even though it was just for a quarter, and even though some of our starters just played, you know, 8-10 snaps, it was still good to have some film on those guys in a high setting.
So I realize you were probably overly vanilla on both sides of the ball Friday night, but what did you take away that worked against Upperman that you hope you can implore Friday night?
Well, I thought we pass protected better than I anticipated, especially due to the level of talent that we were seeing from those guys. Receivers caught the ball pretty well for us in that night, and our backs ran hard. You know, I was really proud of the way that, and we used three tailbacks, and I was really proud of the way that all three of them ran the football. There was some positives that we took away from it.
So I know using a three tailback system is good for legs late in the game and late in the season, but how do you get one or two or all three of them going early in a game, splitting reps?
Well, for us, it's you know, a combination of what we want to do and. you know, who's kind of got the hot hand. And then also for us, you know, just having a small number of kids on our football team, a lot of it boils down to who's been on the field on both sides for the longest and who's had to play more snaps on defense sometimes and versatility-wise on offense, you know, who can slide out and play another position and things of that nature. So all three of those guys right now are seeing plenty of time on the field, even if it's not at tailback.
Well, looking at Upperman, you know, they have a obviously terrific athlete at quarterback, and you may or may not see an athlete of his level the rest of the year. So how did your guys, you know, compete containing him and getting him on the ground and not really letting him loose?
We did, and he broke one right off the bat, and we misplayed it, and we finally run him down about 45 yards down the field, and I think he ended up scoring later on. We had subbed and had some young kids in, and he breaks one. But Donovan's a great football player, and you know, everybody knows that. And you know, if we have to play somebody like him and then big offensive lineman they got, then we're probably in some trouble.
Well, speaking of big offensive linemen, last time we talked, you talked about Sell Creek having a big, talented offensive line. A few days away from the first game and your deeper dives into Sell Creek, how are they looking?
They're really good. Playoff team from last year, you know, in looking at them and in talking to some people, it's the best team they've ever had, which is you know, kind of what we always get into in our non-region games, but their size is unmatched by a lot of people. I mean, they've got, you know, left tackle that's 6'4", 310, right tackle 6'7", 370, two guards go about 260, and I think their center weighs, I think he's listed like 245. I mean, it's a huge football team up front, and they're very aggressive. And they play really hard. It's going to be a huge challenge for us just because of the way that they play and then just the sheer size that they have. It's something that you can't practice against. And unless you've got the size to match it, it's really hard to overcome it sometimes.
And looking into your schedule a little bit, you know, we when I played at Cookeville, we didn't schedule an easy non-conference schedule so we would be ready for the playoffs. And to me, it looks like that's what you're doing at Monterey.
Same model, and I think anybody that has followed Monterey football since I got here, we've played, you know, a 6A school in Cookeville, we've played Upperman, we've played White County, who's a 5A school, we've played Mount Pleasant, who's been in the second round of the quarterfinals when we played them, we played Midway, who's a traditional playoff team. This year, our non-region games, you know, we open up with Sell Creek, who was in the playoffs last year, followed by Lookout Valley, who was in the second round of the playoffs. That's the model, and that's what we're striving to do is challenge ourselves as many times as we can in hopes to make the challenge of region games and playoff games even easier.
Hugh says he told his team after Friday's work against the Bees that everything starts to count now. That begins against Sell Creek Friday night. The DeKalb County Tigers have a mix of veteran and young players up front on their offensive line. According to head coach Steve Trapp, what they lack in experience, they make up for in size.
We definitely passed the eyeball test up front. You know, across the board, those five guys, it's well over 1,200 pounds between them. You know, our guard, you know, one's 360, one's 330, and they're the younger guys up front. One's a freshman, one's a sophomore, but they bend and move well. We really hope moving forward that we can lean on that front a little bit, which, you know, the experience factor comes in with Cross there at left tackle, and then Peyton Leese at center, then Taven Ponder at right tackle. So it's a group that, you know, they got to gel and come together a little better than what we've done so far in the preseason, but it is a group that we have high expectations for.
And to go along with your impressive-looking offensive line, I think maybe the best-looking prospect you have is your tight end, Evan Jones. He's a big, pretty player, and I, you know, really excited to see how you're going to incorporate him this season.
Yeah, he's definitely the guy that, you know, colleges look at a roster and they see, you know, a 6'4", 6'5", guy over 200 pounds and still, you know, got another year of high school ball to go after this one, and they're intrigued just by what's on paper. He is a guy that last year as a sophomore, he played right tackle for us, really wasn't where he needed to be, but we were so lean on numbers and thin at those positions that, you know, he was willing to step up and do that for us. And then this year with, you know, some added numbers up front, I told him, hey, I can get you back where you need to be, where potentially could get you some collegiate looks. You know, we're going to use him as that fullback, that sniffer guy. He has the ability to run some routes for us and catch the football, and has done pretty well with that. But he also has a year of knowledge with his hand in the dirt, too, so being able to use him at a tight end position. So as far as a multi-weapon or a tool that we can use with our offense, he's a guy that, like I said, he'll be tight end with his hand in the dirt. He'll be a fullback in the backfield, but he can also stand up play receiver for us as well.
After Friday night's final scrimmage, head coach Steve Trapp, some mixed emotions. He said he was pleased with the effort and the energy, especially on defense, but he wants to see fewer mental miscues, especially on offense. Week one of the high school football season is here. Upperman and Cookeville coming up at the top of the hour. Live coverage for you on NewsTalk941.com. We are getting you set for the action. The high school playbook every Thursday night here on NewsTalk 94.1 as we break down the games. The Jackson County Blue Devils return 31 underclassmen this season as they prepare to take on York Institute Friday night. After a season that saw them go 2-8, head coach Sean Loftus says the experience could give them a chance to take a next step as a program.
Well, we just hope this year that, you know, a lot of these kids have game time experience that, you know, that maybe we are the moment at that point in time is not too big for them. I thought last year a lot of kids had to play way too early, but, you know, that's the life of a, you know, a small school. And, you know, so hopefully with returning a lot of kids with, you know, quite a bit of minutes played from last season, that, that you know, Friday night, that they just, you know, treat it as a normal night.
Mm-hmm. And who in the locker room so far has stood out to you as that leader, as that voice that other players kind of follow?
You know, I feel like that, you know, Wid Robbins, you know, is our junior. He is, you know, somebody we're going to lean awfully heavy on. And then also Cole Parkerson, that's a senior. A lot of people are going to depend on, you know, we're going to depend on him to do a lot both on and off, or both on both sides of the ball and in our locker room as well, because I feel like, you know, we got to have, you know, somebody that's got to, you know, do it the right way every single time and step up.
And is there anything specifically about those players that makes them that leader or makes them that voice, or what is it you look for in a leader?
You know, just somebody that, you know, he goes out to practice every single day and, you know, is usually the first one in line whenever we start to do something, and then shows everybody else by the way that they go about their business and doing the drills, whether that's tackling drills, whether it's running sprints at the end, whatever it may be, but show everybody else what is expected and how to do things, you know. And then, you know, same thing in the locker room and in the classroom, you know, set the example for everybody to basically follow. And you know, and that, to me, that's what a leader does. I mean, they do it not only on the field but off the field. They do it, you know, whenever your best players are your hardest workers. You know, we feel like you know, they're going to be that breeds success.
Loftus says the York Dragons are a tough week one matchup for the Blue Devils. He says he knows that Derwin Wright will have his team ready for a physical brand of football. For his team to win, John Loftus says it'll take all 11 players on the field working as a group. After finishing 5-6 a year ago, the Clay County Bulldogs return a team that is hungry for the postseason. According to head coach Jake Johnson, his team primarily getting back freshmen and sophomores.
Honestly, we've had a couple guys do that, fit that bill. You know, number one, of course, he should be, senior quarterback Jake Ashlock. He has really stepped up his game into that leadership role. There's a couple more. Senior, another one, athlete kid. We play him at running back, wide receiver, a little bit of everything. Wyatt Burks. And, you know, Jonathan Maynard, senior lineman's really stepped up. But, you know, those three in particular have really stepped up in that leadership role.
Is there anything about them that just makes them a natural fit to be a leader? Is there a certain quality you're looking for? What is it you look for in a leader on your team?
Well, number one, a leader not only leads by example, okay? He's a great teammate. He says what he needs to say that's appropriate for the situation. You know, that's not just pointing fingers. That's, hey, taking ownership of it. That's taking ownership of your action. You know, there's a fine line between being a leader and just being harsh on somebody. And I feel like we've got guys that really understand that.
So when you look at your team so far and what you've seen in preseason and scrimmages and practices, are you happy with what you've seen? Do you think there's a few more improvements that need to be made? What are your overall thoughts heading into week one?
Well, honest to goodness, you know, I think right now, this time this year, we're a lot better than this time last year. I mean, with that being said, you know, I feel like we've improved drastically each week, you know. But for week one, you know, I don't think you're ever where you want to be week one. But, you know, our kids compete. They're physical. It's just tuning up the little things, which will get better as the season goes on. But as far as improvement and effort and hustle, I can't ask for any better.
Bulldogs get the season started 7 o'clock tomorrow night as they host Monroe County. Johnson says his team has to finish on focusing and not getting too high or too low. That's certainly something young teams often struggle with. A visit to Crossville as the high school playbook continues, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. It's a primer for week one of the high school football season. Cumberland County Jets head into 2019 with first-year head coach Eric Ballou. The Jets return 15 seniors on this year's squad. That includes quarterback Trevor Parsons.
He's been a joy to coach. He's probably the only kid I've ever coached where, you know, I have to keep convincing myself that this kid's a teenager. Super mature, but he also brings a lot of athleticism to the quarterback position. We're going to be able to do a lot of things with him. We can install a lot of stuff because of what he can mentally comprehend. So we expect him to give a lot of people a lot of different problems in different ways. And really, it's really going to be up to him, you know, what type of season he has. But I think the type of kid he is, he's set up for a really good year.
What is it about him that makes him just a natural fit for that leadership spot? Obviously, he's a senior and he's the quarterback, so he's got a big voice. But what is it that you see in him that makes him that that leader?
I think just how he handles, every practice, every situation. He's very even keel. He's not a big rah-rah guy. But, you know, say he makes a mistake or whatever, and, you know, I'd like to say he's thrown an interception, but he hasn't done that in any of the scrimmages besides, you know, a drop pass that ended up being a pick. But, you know, when he messes something up or whatever, he's eager to hear what his coaches have to say. And I coach his position on offense and defense. Eager he is and willing he is to be coached. I think that's really what's going to allow him to reach his peak. We expect him to make big plays, but we really expect him to keep his composure, you know, when things are going south, because that's going to happen, you know, at some point in the season, just like any other team. So I think he's the guy that everybody looks at when, hey, you know, negative things have happened and how are we going to respond? And that's what I want the team to do, is to look at him for that leadership.
As they get set for Scott County tomorrow night, Ballou says he wants this team to work through the challenges that happen during a game and see if they can come out better for it on the backside. For many teams, the preseason serves as a tune-up for the regular season. But for Livingston head coach Bruce Lamb, he says his team is ready to hit some other people, the ones not wearing Livingston jerseys.
It's just one of those times that you get tired of seeing that same old guy across from you every day. So, you know, it'd be nice to go out and hit somebody else.
The offense, you know, looking back at last Friday against Jackson County, the offense looked like it had some really good drives, put some really good things together. What are some positives you came away with after that scrimmage?
Well, we moved the ball and we scored. I mean, that's the biggest positive you can have. And, you know, Will looked good. His timing with the receivers was really well. I think he was 7 or 8 throwing the ball. And the biggest thing is that we ran the ball pretty good, and we also protected Will good up front. So that's always a positive.
And what are some things that you believe this team could still improve on going into week one?
Well, there's always things you can improve on. You know, we need to do a little better job blocking. You know, we need to, as a running back, we need to see the hole a little bit better. I think defensively, I think we need to do a lot of things, you know, plug some holes up, make some tackles, don't miss any tackles. Anytime you miss a tackle, that can always lead to a touchdown. So, you know, there's a lot of things we need to work on and get better at.
What is it that you think this team this year could do better than the team last year? Because last year, I mean, last year was a good year. You know, you 5-6, solid year overall. What do you think this team this year is going to do better than last year?
Well, hopefully one thing is they're going to do better is be healthier. So that always helps, you know, staying healthy. But, you know, our leadership has been really good so far. I mean, I look for these kids, you know, not to say that our leadership wasn't bad, was bad last year, but, you know, our seniors this year, we got 13 of them compared to, I think, 7 last year. So, you know, that's a big in the locker room when you have that many kids that are in there to lead and take control. So hopefully that'll be one of the positive points from this year.
Lamb says this team is going to focus more on what it needs to do instead of what the other team will bring to the table. Westmoreland, the week one opponent, tomorrow night. Let's talk some Jamestown football. A visit to York Institute as the high school playbook continues. Presented by Mountain Barn Builders. The Dragons a bit wounded right now, according to head coach Derwin Wright. Pulled muscles, aching tendons, but Wright says they'll be ready come tomorrow night for a physical brand of football.
You've got to expect your kids will be excited. You know, it's finally game one, and, you know, that's when it all starts. And, you know, as old coach said to me one time, you can't win them all unless you win the first one. But biggest thing early on, knowing those first games, is to try to find your identity, figure out what you're really good at, not good at, and, you know, as I say, hide your weakness and exploit your strengths.
And right now, what is this team? What's your team doing really, really well right now as far as practice?
Well, honestly, I think the D line is doing pretty well, and the offensive line. I've got big hopes for them to be a strong bunch this year. You know, we've got some speed in the backfield. Unfortunately, we've got some pulled muscles and things like that, so we don't have the depth we should have in the backfield, but hopefully we'll get those kids back on the field soon.
And what's an area that this team can stand to improve in? I mean, you haven't played a regular season game yet, so it may be kind of harder to see that, but what have you seen throughout practices and scrimmages that this team could really stand to improve?
Just intensity, one thing. I think just the overall toughness, and then from a defensive side, I think we've got to do what we can to develop a little more depth on the defensive side, especially these early games when it's hot, and be able to rotate some kids in and stay fresh.
Is that the key to developing depth? I've always kind of wondered that. Is the key just, you know, getting certain kids reps, or is it just getting anyone out there that's able to play?
No, I think it's getting them in where you feel they fit, and you know, getting 1, 2, and 3 deep and working those guys in practice, you know, not just work your ones and throw your twos in there for, you know, 8 plays. Let all three groups, if you can go 3 deep, you know, get reps in practice. And you think, well, it pulls away a little bit from your first team. But in reality, you know, football's a sport that, especially early, you have cramps, you have things happen. So you got to be ready for that.
Derwin Wright says that Edward Stockton and Zach Strong have both done a good job keeping this team moving through the injuries. Dragons in Jackson County, Friday night, 7 o'clock. Stone Memorial head coach Derek Samber says this offseason he wanted to schedule teams with state championship pedigrees. That starts with Grace Christian Academy out of Knoxville.
Coach Rusty Bradley has a couple state titles. Coalfield is a team that's played for the state title. CAK is actually where Rusty Bradley won his state championships. Livingston Academy in the region has a state title. Friendship Christian has multiple state championships. So when we went out and scheduled our non-conference opponents, non-region opponents, we wanted teams that have been where we want to go and kind of measuring stick games for us toward our ultimate goal.
Well, and speaking of Coach Bradley, you know, when he was at CAK, I was in and out of that school. They always had kids, so...
You know, Justin, it's hard to say, and I could give you an answer right now, and it wouldn't be accurate. I think they've got a great football team from everything I'm seeing and hearing. Coach Bradley is a tremendous football coach that knows his systems inside and out. And that's the exciting and nerve-wracking and adrenaline rush that comes with week one, is you figure out where you measure up and how you compare with a good football team.
Been a tough week in Crossville for the Stone Memorial family, mourning the loss of two-sport athlete Grant Harrison Bullock. Bullock passed away over the weekend, killed in an ATV accident. He was a member of both the football and soccer teams. Our thoughts certainly with the Stone Memorial family and, most importantly, Grant Bullock's family. Getting set for kickoff, Upperman and Cookeville. The 2019 campaign gets underway. Here's hoping your team wins. And we're back Saturday morning to talk all about it. 9 o'clock, Rock 93.7, the high school playbook from Chick-fil-A, Interstate Drive.